Chapter 52, subject Krishna's contact with Rukmini. Excellent. In this way, when Mushukunda, the celebrated descendant of the Ikhaku dynasty, became favored specifically by Lord Krishna, he circumambulated the Lord within the cave and then came out of it. When Mushukunda came out of the cave, he surprisingly saw that the stature of the human being had reduced to pygmy size. Similarly, the trees also were far reduced in size. He could immediately understand that the running age was of Kali Yuga. Therefore, without diverting his attention to any other direction, he began to march towards the northern side. Gradually, he reached towards the mountain known as Gandhamadan. It appears that in this mountain there are many trees, just like sandalwood trees and other flower trees, the flavor of which engladdens anyone who reaches there. He decided to remain in that Gandhamadan mountain regions in order to execute austerity and penances for the rest of his life. It appears that this place is situated in the northernmost part of the Himalayan mountain, and where the place of Narunarayan is situated. This place is still existing and is called Badrikasram. In this Badrikasram place, he engaged himself in the worshipment of Lord Krishna, tolerating all kinds of dualities, pains and pleasures of this material world. Lord Krishna also returned to the vicinity of the city of Mathura and began to fight with the soldiers of Kalajavan and kill them one after another. And after this killing business, he collected all the booties out of the dead bodies and brought them back in Dwarka. When the booties were being carried by men under the direction of the Lord for depositing in Dwarka, loading them on bullock carts, in the meantime, Jarasandha again attacked Thura with bigger divisions of soldiers, numbering 23 Akhavini. On the arrival of the great military divisions of Jarasandha, Lord Sri Krishna wanted to save them because King Jarasandha attacked the Mathura city for the eighth time in order to save further killing of the soldiers, and with an intention for attending other important business, Lord Sri Krishna pretended himself as ordinary human being, and it appeared that he was afraid of the vast mass of soldiers of Jarasandha. Therefore, he left the battlefield without fighting, and in spite of presence of his immense soldiers and resources, he was not at all afraid of the great military strength of Jarasandha. Still, he was going away as if he has been very much afraid of Jarasandha. His hand was completely empty, without any weapons, and in this fashion he began to proceed for a very, very long distance on legs.
Although his lotus feet was as soft as the petals of lotus flower, Jarasandha have a thought that Krishna and Balaram this time have been very much afraid of his military strength and were fleeing away from the battlefield. Therefore, he began to follow him with all his chariots, horses, and infantry soldiers.
He did not know that Krishna and Balaram were not ordinary human beings. Therefore, he wanted to measure the activities of the Lord. Krishna is known as Ranchor, means who has left the battlefield. And in India, especially in Gujarat, there are many temples of Krishna, which is known as the temple of Ranchorji. In the ordinary way, if some king has left battlefield without fighting, he is designated as coward. But Krishna's this pastime of leaving the battlefield without fighting is worshipped by the devotee. That is the difference between a demon and devotee. A demon always tries to measure the opulence of Krishna, whereas the devotee never tries to measure his strength and opulence, but always surrenders unto him and worships him. By following the footsteps of pure devotees, we should know that Krishna, the Ranchorji, did not leave the battlefield being afraid of it, but he had some other purpose within him. The purpose, as it will be revealed in the next few lines, was to attend a confidential letter sent by Rukmini, his future first married wife. This act of Krishna leaving the battlefield is also one of the six opulences of Krishna. Krishna is a supreme, powerful, supreme influencer, supreme famous, supreme wise, supreme beautiful. Similarly, he is supreme renouncer. In this connection, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clearly stated that in spite of his having ample military strength, he left it. Even without having military strength, he alone personally was sufficient to kill all the soldiers and military strength of Jarasandha, as he had already done for 7 times. Therefore, his leaving the battlefield is an example of his supermost opulence of renunciation. Next one. In this way, the two brothers continually began to run away from the battlefield. After traversing a very, very long distance, they pretended to become very much tired, and to mitigate the tiresomeness, both of them got up on a very high hill, which was several miles high from the sea level. This hill, this mountain was so high that it was generally known as Pravarsan. It was so named because the summit of this mountain, Jarasandha, however, took it for granted that these two brothers, being afraid of the of his military power, now taken shelter on the top of the hills, and thus they must have hidden themselves. First of all, he tried to find them out, searching out for a long time, but when he failed, then he thought it wise that the two brothers may be captivated there and killed by setting fire on all sides of the summit. This way, he surrounded with fuel all around the summit and set on fire. When the blazing fire gradually become more and more expanding. Krishna and Balaram, in order to save themselves for being burned into ashes, as Jarasandha thought it, jump from the top down to the ground, comprising a distance of 88 miles. In this way, while the summit of the mountain was in burning fire, Krishna and Balaram escaped, and neither Jarasandha nor he, their own men, could see them. And thus gradually they reached the city of Dwarka, which was surrounded all sides by the sea. Note, the word summit may be replaced by the word peak. Next paragraph. Jarasandha, however, concluded that the two brothers have been burnt into ashes, so there was no need of fighting anymore. He was successful in his attempt, and therefore he left the city of Mathura and went back to his home in the kingdom of Magadha. After this, Sri Balaram was married the king of the Anarsa province, known as Raivat, got his daughter Revati married with Balaram. This incident is explained in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. After the marriage of Baladev, Krishna was also married with Rukmini, the daughter of King Bhishmak. King Bhishmak was the ruler of the province known as Vidarbha. As Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, Vasudev, similarly, Rukmini is also the supreme goddess of fortune, Mahalakshmi. According to the authority of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the expansion of Krishna and expansion of Sri Radharani are simultaneous. As Krishna expands himself into various Vishnu-tattva forms, similarly, Srimati Radharani expands herself into various Shakti-tattva or internal potency in multi forms of Goddess of Fortune. Krishna and Rukmini was married in the process of Rakshasa system. According to Vedic convention, there are eight kinds of marriages, out of which the first-class marriage system is that the parents of the bride and bridegroom arranges the marriage date and the bridegroom in royal style goes to the house of the bride, and in the presence of Brahmins and priests and relatives, the bride is given in charity to the bridegroom. Besides that, there are other procedures like Gandharva or Rakshasa marriages. So Rukmini was married with Krishna by the Rakshasa's process, because she was kidnapped by Krishna in the presence of his many rivals like Shishupal and his associates. The story is that while Rukmini was being given in charity for marriage to Shishupal, she was snatched from the marriage arena by Krishna, exactly like Garuda snatched the pot of nectar from the demons. Rukmini, the only daughter of King Bhishma, was exquisitely beautiful. Specifically, she is known as Ruchi Anand, which means the beautiful facet, resplendent like lotus flower. Next slide. The story of Krishna's kidnapping Rukmini from the marriage arena is very interesting. Amongst the Kshatriyas, mostly the marriage takes place in such a way, and Krishna married Rukmini in the presence of his many contemporary royal enemies like Shalya, Jarasandha, Shishupal, and others. Devotees of Krishna, they are always anxious to hear about the transcendental activities of the Lord. Therefore, his fighting activities or his kidnapping activities or his running away from the battlefield activities, all of them being equally on the absolute platform, they are transcendental, and devotees take transcendental interest in hearing all of them. Pure devotee does not make any distinction that a particular type of activities of the Lord should be heard and the other should be avoided. There is, however, a class of so-called devotees known as Prakita Sahajya. They are very much interested in hearing about Krishna's Rastila with gopis, but not his fighting activities with his enemies. Without knowing that Krishna's fighting activities with the enemies and his friendly activities with the gopis are equally transcendental and on the absolute platform. The transcendental pastimes of Krishna described in the Srimad Bhagavatam are therefore relished by submissive oral reception by pure devotees, without rejecting even a drop of it. Next verse, the story of Krishna's marriage with Rukmini are described as follows. King of Vidarbha, Maharaj Bhishma, was very qualified and devotee prince, and he had very qualified sons and one daughter. He had five sons, one daughter only. First son was known as Rukmi. The next son was known as Rukmana. The third son was known as Rukmabahu. The fourth and the youngest son was known as Rukmakesh. The last son was known as Rukmamali. All these five brothers had one youngest sister, and she was known as Rukmini, most beautiful, qualified, chaste daughter of King Bhishma, meant for being married with Krishna. As usual, many saintly persons and sages like Narada Muni and others used to visit the palace of King Bhishma. Naturally, Rukmini had the chance of talking with them, and she got information about Krishna from such saintly persons. She was informed about the six opulences of Krishna, even without seeing Krishna, simply by hearing about him. Rukmini surrendered herself to the lotus feet of Krishna to become his future wife. On the other hand, Sri Krishna also heard of Rukmini about her intelligence, good bodily symptoms, liberal mindedness, exquisite beauty, upright behavior, the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. And thus, Krishna also decided that she was the fit woman who could be his equal matchable wife. He therefore decided that he would marry Rukmini only. Family members and relatives of King Bhishma and other brothers of Rukmini, all of them decided that Rukmini should be given in marriage to Krishna. But her elder brother was not the black-eyed, beautiful daughter of the king of Vidarbha. Heard this settlement, she immediately became very much morose. But after all, she was also a king's daughter. She knew all kinds of politics and diplomacy. Therefore, she decided that there was no use simply to become morose, but some steps should be taken immediately. Considering this, she wanted to select one Brahmin as her messenger to send news to Krishna without delay. After deliberation, she wanted to select a qualified Brahmin to be her messenger, because a qualified Brahmin is always truthful and devotee of Vishnu. She wanted, therefore, to disclose her mind to such Brahmin so that he may not deceive her. The Brahmin messenger who was selected by Rukmini went to Dwarka to see Krishna on behalf of Rukmini. Reaching the gate of Dwarka, the Brahmin sent news to Krishna about his arrival through the doorkeeper, and the doorkeepers led him to the place where Krishna was sitting on a golden throne. Taking the opportunity of becoming the messenger of Rukmini, the Brahmin was fortunate enough to see personally the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the original cause of all causes. Lord Sri Krishna also, in order to teach everyone the etiquette, how to respect a Brahmin, immediately got up from his seat and offered it to the Brahmin for his reception. Although Lord Sri Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still, in order to teach Vedic social convention, he showed respect to the Brahmin, who is supposed to be the spiritual teacher of all the different social divisions. When the Brahmin was seated on the golden throne, Lord Sri Krishna worshipped the Brahmin exactly in the manner in which the demigod worship Lord Sri Krishna. By this instance, Lord Sri Krishna taught everyone that worshipment of his devotee is still more valuable than the worshipment of the Lord himself. Thus the Brahmin gradually took his bath and accepted his meals, and when he was given to rest on a bedstead completely bedecked with soft silk, and when the Brahmin began to take rest on it, Lord Sri Krishna very silently approached the Brahmin and with great respect took the legs of the Brahmin on his lap for massaging. In this way, Lord Sri Krishna introduced himself to talk with the Brahmin and began to say as follows: "My dear Brahmin, I hope your execution of religious principles are being done without any difficulty. I hope your mind must be always in peaceful condition. As different grades of people in the social status are engaged in a different professional business, the inquiry of well-being of a particular person must be on the basis of that occupation. Therefore, when a Brahmin is to be inquired about his welfare, the question should be whether circumstantial condition of life are not disturbing for him. Peaceful condition of the mind is a basic principle for becoming truthful, clean, equilibrium, self-control, forbearance, and thereby attaining knowledge and its practical application in life, and thereby becoming convinced about the absolute truth. This Brahmin, as it will be revealed in the following lines, knew Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and still he accepted the respectful service of the Lord on the ground of Vedic social convention. Lord Sri Krishna was playing just like a human being belonging to the Kshatriya division of social status and happened to be a young boy. Therefore, it was his primary duty to show respect to such Brahmins. Lord Sri Krishna continued to advise the Brahmin, "My dear, the best of all Brahmins, you should always remain satisfied, because if a Brahmin is always self-satisfied, then he cannot be deviated from his prescribed duties. And simply by sticking to one's prescribed duties, especially the Brahmins, one can attain the highest perfection of all desires." Lord Sri Krishna continued to say that a person, even he happens to be most opulent, as good as the king of heaven Indra, still, if he is not satisfied in his mind, then he has to inevitably transmigrate from one planet to another, thus can never be happy in any circumstances. Whereas a person, even he is bereft of all possession, but if he is satisfied in his mind, then he can live anywhere and everywhere in complete relief. This instruction of Krishna to the Brahmin is very significant. The idea is that a true Brahmin should not be disturbed in any circumstances. In the modern age of Kali Yuga, the so-called Brahmins have accepted abominable service of Shudras or less than a Shudra, and still they want to pass over as qualified Brahmin. But actually, a qualified Brahmin always sticks to his principle and never accepts the occupation of a Shudra or less than a Shudra. It is advised in the authorized scriptures that a Brahmin in awkward circumstances may accept the profession of a Kshatriya or even of a Vaishya, but never to accept the profession of a Shudra. Lord Krishna have advised herein that a Brahmin, if he scrupulously stick to his religious principles, he will never be disturbed by any adverse condition of life. Lord Sri Krishna, in conclusion, said that my respectful obeisances are to the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas, because the Brahmins are always self-satisfied and the Vaishnavas are always engaged in actual welfare activities of the human society. They are the best friends of the people in general. Both of them are free from the false egotism and both of them are always in peaceful condition of mind. Lord Krishna therefore offered his obeisances unto them. After finishing the inquiry of the Brahmin, then Lord Krishna desired to inquire about the Kshatriyas. Thus he inquired from the Brahmin whether the citizens of his kingdom are all happy. A king's qualification is judged by the temperament of the people in general in the kingdom. If the people in general in the kingdom are very happy in all respects, then it is to be understood that the king of that particular country is honest and executing his duties rightly. Lord Sri Krishna especially said in this connection that the king in whose kingdom the citizens are happy are very much dear to him. Lord Krishna, of course, could understand that the Brahmin came to him with some confidential message. Therefore, he requested the Brahmin that if he had no objection, he could disclose the mission on which he had come there. The Lord said that I am now giving you permission to speak about your mission. The Brahmin, thus being permitted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was present before him as a human being in his transcendental pastime. And the Brahmin, being very much satisfied by the dealings of Lord Krishna and being questioned by him, narrated the whole history of his mission to come and see him. After this, the Brahmin got out the letter written by Rukmini addressed to Krishna and said, these are the words of Princess Rukmini as follows. My dear Krishna, the infallible, the most beautiful, any human being who happens to hear about your transcendental quality, form, pastimes, immediately he absorbs through his ears your name, fame, quality, and thus he subsides all his material pangs and fixes your form in his heart. And through such transcendental love for you, he sees you always within himself. By this process, all his desires become fulfilled. Fortunately, I have also similarly heard your transcendental qualities, and I may be shameless because I am expressing myself to yourself that I have been captivated by you and my heart has been taken by you. It may be suspected by you that I am an unmarried girl, young in age. How could I approach you directly without any shame, and in that way you may doubt about my steadiness of character? But, my dear Mukunda, you are the supreme lamb amongst the human beings. You are the supreme person amongst the persons. Are the enjoyers, any girl, even though she has not come out of home, or any woman who may be of the highest quality of chastity, after hearing about your unprecedented character, knowledge, opulence, possessions, all of which can draw the attention of everyone, and after such understanding, who will not be captivated to get oneself married with you at the marriageable age like me? I have therefore accepted you as my husband because I know you are the husband are the goddess of fortune. Not only that, you are very kind towards your devotee. I know this fact very well. Therefore, I decided to become your eternal maid servant. After such decision, my dear Lord, I am offering my respectful obeisances unto your lotus feet. Next verse. My dear, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on account of the reasons above mentioned, I have already accepted your lordship as my selected husband, and I have dedicated my life and soul under your lotus feet. I therefore request you to accept me as your wife. You are the supreme powerful, O the lotus eyed. Now I belong to you. Keep therefore the eatable or enjoyable thing by the lion is taken away by the jackal, it will be a ludicrous affair. I request you therefore to be immediately taking care of me before I have been taken away by Shishupal and other princes like him. My dear Lord, if in my previous life I have done any pious activity as public welfare activities by digging well and throwing trees, performing ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, serving the superior spiritual master, Brahmins and the Vaishnavas, in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, might have been pleased upon me, then I wish that yourself, Lord Krishna, the brother of Lord Balaram, may please come here and catch hold of my hand, thus may not allow me to be touched by Shishupal and his company. Next paragraph. Rukmini's marriage with Shishupal was already settled up. Therefore, Rukmini tried to give a suggestion to Krishna how the settled things can be unsettled. She therefore suggested Krishna to kidnap her. This sort of marriage by kidnapping the girl under force was practiced amongst the Kshatriyas or the administrative martial spirited class of men, and it is known the system of Rakhasa. Therefore, Rukmini informed Krishna that her marriage was already settled up to take place the next day. Therefore, Krishna should come there incognito, and after the kidnapping business is finished, he should fight with Shishupal and his allies like the king of Magad. In this way, after fighting with the opposite party, certainly he would come out victorious, because Krishna's name is Ajita. Nobody can conquer him. He specifically therefore addressed Krishna with the name Ajita, unconquerable. In this way, Rukmini suggested Krishna that she may be married with him in the Rakshasa's process instead of being married with Shishupal under systematic royal process of marriage. As a king of a country thinks in all diplomatic ways for achieving his object, similarly, Rukmini, the daughter of a king, also gave Krishna's suggestion that he should not bother himself on the fact that Rukmini would be within the palace, and if the fighting takes place within the palace, then many of the Rukmini's family members or women might be wounded or even be killed in order to kidnap Rukmini.
He therefore suggested Krishna how this unnecessary and undesirable killing could be avoided. She suggested that it was the custom of their family to visit the temple of goddess Durga, their family deity, before the marriage. The Kshatriya kings, although most of them were staunch Vaishnavas, worshipper of Lord Vishnu, either in Radha Krishna or Lakshmi Narayan forms, still for their material welfare, they used to worship goddess Durga, but they never did this mistake that the demigods were accepted as the Supreme Lord on the level of Vishnu Tattva. Although some of the less intelligent class of men used to worship various demigods, but they were never bewildered about the supremacy of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of God. Rukmini, as such, suggested Krishna that as soon as she would go out of the palace to worship Goddess Durga, on the way to the temple or on the way to the palace after finishing the worship of the goddess, it would be easier for Krishna to kidnap her without any unnecessary killing of her relatives. Next, Rukmini also explained to Krishna why she was so much anxious to be kidnapped and married with Krishna, although it was a settled fact that her marriage would take place with Shishupal, who was also a prince, a son of a big king, at the same time qualified. Why she should change her mind to marry Krishna instead of Shishupal? Rukmini therefore explained her position as follows. She did not think anyone greater than Krishna. I mean, the greatest of all demigods, namely Lord Shiva, who is known as Mahadev, the greatest of all demigods. He also seeks the pleasure of Lord Krishna for being delivered from his entanglement in the quality of ignorance within this material world. Lord Shiva is also the greatest of all great souls, Mahatmas. And in spite of his becoming so, he desired to keep Ganges water on his head, which is emanating from the toe of Lord Vishnu. Lord Shiva is in charge of the material quality in ignorance in order to keep himself always in the transcendental position. He is always meditation of Lord Vishnu or Krishna and always tries to purify himself by the water of Ganges. He therefore knew it very well that to obtain the favor of Krishna is not easy job. For this purpose, even Lord Shiva tries to be purified, and what to speak of Rukmini, who is only a daughter of a Kshatriya king. Therefore, she desired her life being sacrificed for attaining this success of achieving Krishna's favor by observing severe austerities and penances without any bodily comforts and fasting throughout. In that way, she wanted to give her a life up. If it was not possible to attain Krishna's mercies in that way in one life, she was prepared to do the same activities life after life, unless she was able to achieve the favor of Lord Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, pure devotees of the Lord execute devotional service with great vow. Such kind of determination as exhibited by Rukmini Devi is the only price for purchasing Krishna's favor. One should be strongly determined in Krishna consciousness, and that is the way of ultimate success. This way, after explaining the statement of Rukmini Devi before Krishna, the Brahmin who brought the news said, "My dear, the chief of the Jodhu dynasty, Krishna, I have brought this confidential message for you from Rukmini. Now it is placed before you for your consideration. And after due deliberation, you can act as you please. But if you want to do something, you must do it immediately. There is no much time for this action." Next word. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 52nd chapter, Krishna, in the matter of Krishna the Ranchor, who fled away from the battle.